The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive. Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And today's a pretty big episode, I guess. Maybe it's not. We are covering Psycho Beach Party and A is for Antichrist by Ian Rob Wright.
Yeah.
But aside from that, what's new with you, Brian?
Not too much. I had a catastrophic hard drive failure.
Ooh,
that was fun.
That is fun.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? You going to put it in the freezer and try it?
No. I actually, and this is going to make people cringe probably, opened it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the header arm that like reads the information off the disk was stuck. So it wasn't like, you know, that the hard drive failed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's just the header arm got stuck on the platter, and I opened it up and got it off, but now it won't go back on. So like all of my data sitting there on the hard drive, but there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm gonna buy another one, like another hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And replace the arm in the inside, see how that goes.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Any IT people want to tweet at B&E Pod? Give us some. Yeah, because mine happened a few weeks ago, which mine wasn't as bad. Like, yeah, there was a few Junkies songs that we had demoed that weren't released, and some Brown Dog songs, and just other songs. Our Spooky Scare 'em stuff, it's all gone. But I don't have most of everything on there, so it sucked, but it's sitting in the closet waiting for, you know, a cure.
You've got it in cryogenic stasis.
Pretty much. Like, I'm like, well, I know that if I was like super loaded, you know, I could get
it. Yeah,
that's the problem, dude. The problem, it always comes back to money. You know?
It really does.
You know, I honestly think that they build these hard drives to fail after. Like, how old was yours? Mine was like 5 years old. So I think
that, that was my computer was from 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So no, that was the hard drive from there.
Wait, but it wasn't an external hard drive?
No.
Oh, it's like your computer?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
mine was external. Yeah.
No, this was my actual hard drive.
Yeah, I thought it was external. Wow. Nope. So what computer? I guess you're on your wife's?
No. I bought a new hard drive, and I did my Time Machine backup.
Okay.
But
so didn't that restore most of it?
No, because my hard drive was too big for my Time Machine backup, so I only backed up one partition.
Okay.
So all the other stuff was on the other partition. So it's gone.
Tech talk. Yeah, that sucks, dude. But
yeah,
it'll come back.
Hopefully. I mean, I already found a backup that had a whole bunch of my scores, but not everything,
mm-hmm.
Including recent work that I have to redo now. But I mean, we'll see what happens.
Maybe it's just the universe's way of telling you, like,
I should quit.
Nah, just start over, man. Your better ideas are coming. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't really stand by that. But
oh, that's your advice, and I'm going to take it,
dude. Yeah, delete it all. You know what? Hit it with a hammer just to show that you agree with the universe.
So, yeah, I talked to our friend German about it because he's the one that kind of walked me through. And he's like, look, there's all these other people opening their discs and it's fine. Right? Yeah. But he said that one of their other guys that he works with said that sometimes whenever the head gets stuck, you can just lightly slam it on a desk and it'll be okay.
Huh.
I was like, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, and I won't say who German works for, but but it's something that would shock people knowing that he's that this is the IT behind such a such a place. Anyway, but yeah, other than that, you know, what else is new?
I went and saw Ghostbusters.
There we go. That was the segue I was hoping.
So what else is new? Well, my hard drive is still crashed.
I've been doing some wiring around the house. Oh, come on.
Oh, God. No, I went and saw Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Not as bad as you expect it to be. Right? I stand by my original idea behind it. That I said that if Ghostbusters didn't exist, this movie would be okay.
Yeah.
Right? And I stand by that. But here's the problem.
Ghostbusters did, exist?
Well, not only that, but they did everything in their power to remind you of it over and over and over.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was tons of little, like, hidden references and, like, Easter eggs or whatever that, you know... Hey, remember Ghostbusters? Was basically the theme of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like to the point where they were literally fighting the embodiment of the original movie at the end of it. Spoiler alert, by the way. Like, they were fighting the logo.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, I still want to see it. I don't know. I did check. It looks like it's made half of its budget back so far. In 2 weeks. It's like at $71 million, it cost $144 million. Things are not looking good for the Ghostbusters reboot. So
yeah.
But
they straight up did set it up for a second one though.
Of course they did.
It's probably not gonna happen.
No. But
there was a funny part where they were because they actually are the first Ghostbusters in continuity in this universe.
Yeah.
Right. And they were, as they were starting out, they were posting videos of ghosts on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there was one section where they were reading the comments off of YouTube. And it was basically the comments everybody was making for the announcement of the reboot. Yeah. So it was like, girls can't be Ghostbusters and stuff like that. But, you know, better than... that. But yeah, I laughed pretty hard at that. I mean, there were some funny parts, but, you know, a lot of it felt kind of flat. And I think what it was like, it was a lot less adult than the original Ghostbusters.
What? There wasn't ghosts giving blowjobs in this one?
No. I mean, if there was, I missed it.
Everyone kind of forgets that scene. He gets blown by a ghost.
Yeah, it's weird and no reason.
No, it's not like it was. It was
there
like
was some weird subplot, right? That was like deleted.
No, movie. I mean it was just in a montage of him getting blown by a ghost.
Now you know what's funny is like that movie was loosely based, right, on
the Amityville Haunting,
on Dan Aykroyd's like father, right?
Yeah.
Do you think his dad got blown by a ghost?
I'm going to go ahead and say he did. Actually, I think his dad probably banged a ghost and Dan Aykroyd's the baby.
Oh, he's like half ghost.
He's a ghost baby.
But, that makes a lot of sense.
Now, I watched a thing called Ghost Heads about people that were obsessed with Ghostbusters,
uh-huh.
Which I also was laughing about how I'm not going to say that we're behind it, but we
did kind of
start saying head on things, and now it's taken off.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we can't claim the credit, but it does seem sensible that a low-budget movie about Ghostbusters fans, that director might be a fan of our show.
I actually think we can claim the credit.
Anyway.
And not only that, but we should.
Yeah. Our glowing review for that doc is just like, give us our head back. Or credit. But no, like, it was about, like, people that were obsessed with Ghostbusters. Dude, one of these people, like, kind of saddened. Actually, a few of them kind of saddened me. And it's not, like, have anything to do with cosplay. This one lady replaced her alcoholism with cosplay for Ghostbusters. Like, she was like, I was an alcoholic, and then I found Ghostbusters. Like, that doesn't sound like a healthy approach either. Like, there's gotta...
Well, I mean...
It's healthier, but...
You can still drive around dressed as a Ghostbuster.
Yeah. It would suck, though, if, like, the second she takes off the suit, she has to drink again. It's like just one or the other. No, it was sad. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, it was really, really good. I think it was on Netflix. I saw it. It might have been on Amazon or Hulu. I think. Anyway. But yeah, I would recommend people watch it. Like, it was really kind of like an inspiring type documentary. But there was, like I said, just a few moments of like, oh, that's sad. You know? But, anyway, yeah, other than that, I watched The Green Room.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend. The Green Room might be my favorite horror film of the year.
Nice.
Even though I would hesitate to actually call it horror, it's kind of like
thriller.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like
Cape Fear.
Well, no, it's kind of like what Bone Tomahawk was, where it was like just kind of brutal at parts, but
yeah.
Other than the Western aspect. But, I mean, it's basically just a punk band stuck in a green room full of neo-Nazis outside. So, it's not, like, there's nothing supernatural.
I think we've played some shows like that before.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Like, some of these, not the neo-Nazi stuff. Thank God we never had that. But we played some sketchy places. Some very sketchy places. And I was thinking about that. While watching it, but yeah, it was really, really good. You're never gonna look at Patrick Stewart the same again.
You mean like with deep admiration and kind of a crush?
Yeah, no. He's just a skinhead from here on out for me.
Huh. That's weird.
Well, there goes our skinhead audience. No. But no, it was really, really good. I highly recommend it. And so I followed that up with another thing that I highly recommend, Stranger Things.
Yeah, I keep wanting to watch that.
I finished it in 2 days, and you know me, I'm not the type of person that finishes something in 2 days.
Yeah, that's weird.
like,
no, not only that, but like, you're not the type of person that finishes a TV show.
Yeah, no, I don't. Like, I'm like, like even Breaking Bad, like, I made it 2 seasons. I'm a game.
Good enough.
I'm a Game of Thrones season 2 right now. I'll be fine. But no, like I finished this not only with 2 days, but 2 days. And right now my work is just insane at work. So I don't have the kind of time. So yeah, finished it. Highly, highly recommend it. It's like if E.T. or like if it was mixed with any of those Amblin movies from the 80s, like E.T. or any of that. Like
just any play of Amblin Entertainment made it.
Yes, exactly. Like very Spielberg, but at the same time, like it has some, you know, truly like creepy parts and stuff. It never goes full-fledged scary.
I hear it goes like Lovecraftian at the end.
I mean, kind of. I didn't get strong Lovecraft vibes, but yeah, I mean, there's other dimensions and monsters. So yeah, I mean, it's just, they don't have like, they don't look Lovecraftian, no tentacles.
Yeah. Oh,
Speaking of Lovecraft though,
oh, perfect segue. We're on our segue game.
Another talking point I got. Have you heard about this? There's going to be an upcoming anthology show based on Lovecraft's works.
No, I have not.
It's untitled. I forget who's behind it.
I like that.
It's untitled. There's no network attached. Right now, it's just early, early rumblings.
So it's an idea.
Yeah, it's just something I thought about. Right now, I mean, there's a hot Hollywood player behind it.
Yeah, we should just start making our own news like that.
Yeah, I've often thought, you know, especially as like I've been writing, still working on my book, but you know, I should release it as a pseudonym to glowing 5-star B&E reviews.
No, oh man,
I wouldn't do that. It.
You can just put me as a pull quote.
I grew up with this guy down the street from me.
He's still an asshole. Right now, Lenny, bmoviesandebooks.com.
Speaking of pull quotes.
Oh, God.
Ryan C. Thomas's new book, Scars of the Broken, which we reviewed back in February, March.
It's been a while.
It finally was released. So this is part 3 of the Roger Huntington saga. I highly suggest checking it out, but also we got a pull quote on the cover. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that whole series is strange to me. Like, I like it a lot, but it just started off as like splatterpunk and then slowly morphed into like superhero team up book.
Yeah. I really like that saga. And I can't wait to see where he's going next with it. It definitely seems like he's created a world where anything could happen. Like, he could do a Roger Huntington on the moon, and I'd read it.
Oh my God. That'd be good.
You're very welcome, Ryan C. Thomas. You can definitely use
like
that.
Some sort of like hidden government moon base. Yeah. And they have to call in Roger Huntington and the crew to like clean out moon zombies or something.
Yeah, and his visions of Skinny Man and Tuve are still like they're in spacesuits.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But you're welcome, Ryan C. Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah, other than that, did you happen...
Speaking of on the moon...
No, I mean, all good things come to an end, and our trail of seamless segues are over.
That was like 3 segues in a row.
Speaking of segues...
whatever happened to segues?
Yeah. Remember when Bush fell off one? All right, so Mystery Science Theater 3000, did you see that it is now coming to Netflix? The new crowd?
Wasn't that the original plan?
No, I mean, they kickstarted it, and they were making it with no network attached. But yeah, Netflix is definitely, it's confirmed as of, like, I think yesterday.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'll be able to watch it.
Yeah, okay, but this does open up a bigger thing. So Netflix could have funded this, and yet the fans did, right?
Yeah.
And then the fans are getting the same.
Pay for it.
Yeah, the fans are paying for content that they want to see. I mean, so it makes sense. But at the same time, like, people like me that are a fan of it but didn't pay, I get the same thing that the low, like, the, you know, low contributing. Kickstarter people.
Uh-huh.
Guy, like, I get the exact same thing. Just, like, wait for Netflix to scoop it up. Like, did you kind of feel deprived on the Veronica Mars? Like, you were a Veronica Mars contributor, right?
Yes. And I actually went to, like, the release part, or, like, the Kickstarter party with, you know, the people from the show and everything in Austin.
Okay. But, all right.
Did I feel like kind of shitty that I had to go or I went and watched it at the movie theater? Is that what you're asking?
Did you see it at the theater?
I did.
Did y'all see it for free because you you paid Kickstarter or no?
No. No.
So you Kickstarted, got nothing out of it other than you got to see it for the same price as other people. And
I got t-shirts.
Okay. Well, I guess. I don't know. I like the idea of democratizing content. Huh?
Yeah. I said we went with Bill.
Oh, they went too?
Yeah.
Huh.
From Long Box Small Talk. Well, actually, wait. Toxic City now.
Yeah. Adventures of Toxic City. But I don't know. I it's like a catch 22 with me, like my feelings about crowdfunding, because I like the democratizing of content and the fact that if you show that there's a market, all of a sudden the product becomes available. I do like that. But the end game on things like, you know, film and TV and stuff like that, like, it's all going to go to streaming, so people will still get it. You know?
I mean,
I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of shitty, especially when someone as big as Netflix picks it up, who could have funded it.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I don't feel that bad about it. I mean, and the fact that, like, Netflix is picking it up, so what? I mean, like, we pay, like, what, $8 a month, $7 a month? And divide that by how much stuff is on there, right? How much are you really paying to see that movie that you just Kickstarted? If you already have Netflix, it's no big deal.
Yeah, but it loses the incentive to back things.
No, the incentive to back things is that you want to see it get made.
Yeah, well, the perks is the reason that a lot of people back things.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I'm like, oh, well, here's a couple bucks if I'm not getting anything out of it.
Well, yeah, that's because you're a jerk.
No, it's because I want to see,
you know,
some...
Can't you be happy with just, like, fueling someone's dreams?
No, we've already established that. I'm not a dream maker. I'm a dream taker on Netflix. I wish I hadn't said that.
Yeah, that was terrible.
We'll cut that out. I definitely will forget. Anyway, that's about all that I have. Oh, the last thing, the guest on episode 1 of B-Movies and E-Books, I believe that was Billy Garbarina, right?
Yeah.
That was the first episode?
Very first episode, 2 years ago.
And he had made a movie at the time we were talking to him about... just about everything, but one of the things that came up was they had done this movie Rotgut that wasn't released.
Yeah.
It's finally, I saw where that is finally being released by Camp Motion Pictures, who generally does like shot on video stuff from the 80s, like the Polonia Brothers stuff and what else? Like Cannibal Campout, just all these shot on video stuff from the 80s. And then now they're doing other more recent movies, but anyway, yeah, they're putting it out, so thought that was kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a follow-up story from 2 years ago.
yeah, and I think the movie was shot in like 2010 or 2011, so happy that it finally came out.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so anyway, which one you want to dive into first?
I don't care. Which one do you want?
Let's do A is for Antichrist coming up next.
Okay.
Man, okay, yeah, so we live in like the ghetto. It's like rough. They're just gangsters and shit. We have to keep
podcast
all the windows closed.
Podcast makes us no money. We can't move.
Like there's like a shootout going on regularly.
Why do you say shit like that? Why does he say shit like we live in the ghetto and there's shoot-ups regularly? Just for the clarity of the podcast, there's not.
Two versus three, nerds with beers and opinions.
A weekly podcast hosted by Cody, Kyle, and Greg.
New episodes every Thursday at bmoviesandebooks.com.
All right, welcome back. We're going to be talking about A is for Antichrist by Ian Rob Wright. All right. So,
that was better.
Yeah, that was take two. So this story is basically, as Brian would like to call, a bottle episode. My God, what's wrong with the way I'm talking? It's a bottle episode. It's all...
Yeah, do you want me to read the synopsis?
Sure.
Okay. So here's from the book, the official synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday. Sorry. A boy's 16th birthday is a special occasion. It is a time where he becomes a man. It is a time that brings out many changes. But Isaac's 16th birthday brings him more changes than most. He is not quite himself, and suddenly his friends don't seem so much like friends anymore. By the end of the party, Isaac will not just change from a boy into a man, but into something else entirely.
Spoilers!
Oh, and then it says growing pains can be hell, which is also kind of spoilery.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, with that in mind, that's exactly what happens throughout the book.
Yeah.
Just over the course of this party, he starts realizing that he can do certain things that he never had the powers to do before because he was a person and not the Antichrist prior to this. But, yeah, and this... So, I mean, honestly, without wanting to spoil more, I think that that's pretty much the most synopsis, the most summary we can give, right?
Well, I think the title's pretty spoilery.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, given the title, I would have thought that his name would have began with an A.
Like Adam or something?
Yeah, because A is for... Makes sense?
Yeah.
But
yeah, I guess. I mean, he still had like a nice biblical name.
Yeah, Isaac.
Yeah. But I don't know. So what'd you think about it?
I liked it. It never really took me into a place where I didn't, you know, nothing was like, oh my God, they dropped the, you know, they pulled the rug out from under me or anything
like
that.
They dropped the A-bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Antichrist.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like a really good Twilight Zone episode or something.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really enjoyed it. I am a huge fan of, you know, efficient use of words and not dragging a story longer than it needs to be. And I felt that this was possibly even shorter than it could have been. Like, possibly I would have liked to see it just a few pages longer. So that's a good indication for me, mm-hmm. you know, that they were going somewhere good with this book. It kind of felt a lot like The Merciless in certain ways. To me, just thematically, not actually like plot-wise, but it was kind of like that meets that episode of Twilight Zone where the little boy...
The cornfield.
Could wish people.
God, what's the name of that one?
I don't know. I like the TV version of it better than the movie one.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really wish him to the cornfield in the movie. He just makes bad shit happen to him. But anyway, no, like, I really, really liked it. I've read some of Ian Rob Wright's other stuff, and I own a few of his books, but that I haven't read. So I've just pretty much read, like, shorter type stories of his. And about half of, I believe, the book The Housemates, I've read about half of that. And that was like something that I bought a while back and just kind of started reading. Couldn't even tell you what it's about. Like, I didn't. It was one of those where you read half and you're like, oh, okay, well, I'll get back to this, and then never did, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's, I don't know, 80 books ago. So I'm not super familiar with him, like much of his fiction. So I don't really know that this is in line with, you know, his normal style. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to pick out much of a style in this. However, I really, really liked what I read, and I was expecting for it to be a little grosser because normally he writes, kind of bordering extreme type things, I believe.
I like how you said that right after you said you don't know much about his actual writing style.
Well, I don't, but the thing is, I have that, and then like a few months back, he put out it was like 6 books or something for like $2, and I scooped that up. And so, I mean, I've read at a lot more of his than actually finished, but you know, I don't really know his writing style or anything. So Anyway, but like I said, so stylistically, I don't know. It was kind of a wash because I didn't pick up anything that really spoke to him as an author exclusively. But it was well written, and I enjoyed it. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a solid little story. And like, it got mean.
Quick.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, all of a sudden, you know, what would happen if, you know, this loser kind of gets, you know, superpowers, basically. Like, basically the power from Preacher. And yeah, it got mean real quick, as you kind of would expect, I guess.
Well, yeah, if he's the walking embodiment of evil.
Yeah.
Like,
I wasn't holding that against him.
Yeah, they're
saying, you know, he was basically picked on in school and stuff.
Well,
have
I mean
a little empathy, Craig.
Yeah, have empathy for the Antichrist, huh? I think that the way that it initially came out through the prank calls,
yeah,
I was like, great. Oh my gosh, like,
because that scene was like an immediate tone change.
Yeah.
You know, everything was kind of fun, happy-go-lucky almost, right, up until that point.
Yeah.
And then it just turned on a dime, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, I really, really like that. So what else? What else did you feel about it?
No, I mean, you know, like we said, without... I mean, okay, to be honest, there's not much of a plot to give away, okay, because there's some neat things that happen, but the whole story takes place in probably a few hours, right? So there's not really much plot to actually talk about. It's a house party hosted by the Antichrist. There you go, which sounds more like an 80s comedy movie now that I think about it. But, you know, I think the character development throughout the piece, although was terrible, like as far as him becoming a terrible person, was really well done and actually kind of believable in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't really have a frame of reference for how that would happen in real life, but it made sense and it didn't seem out of character at all. So you kind of have a felt, or you kind of got a feeling for who these people were, or at least the main character, right from the beginning, which was good and kind of hard to do in, you know, a short story. But, you know, nothing seemed out of character. Everything seemed like it worked. I don't know. I think it was really solid for a short story.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. Like, I did not, you know, short stories, we're obviously big fans of, and
yeah,
they're hit or miss, you know, and I like the fact that if it does suck, you haven't wasted more than maybe an hour of your time on them, which this, I don't even know how many pages, this wasn't even an hour worth, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the better works that I've read have been short stories. You know, I'm a huge, huge fan of short stories and novellas, and I don't feel like this was lacking in any way. I felt that it had this underlying, like, it was a subtle uneasiness throughout it that I really, really liked. It was creepy in moments, but not ever over the top scary. And thematically, you know, like I said, kind of reminded me of The Merciless. But as far as like TV shows, this actually is very along the lines of like Reaper, where on his 16th birthday or 18th birthday,
it's a fairly common trope.
Yeah. Or Teen Wolf, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
in the next book, it should be B is for basketball and it's the Antichrist playing basketball.
Yeah. B is for van surfing.
It's just those three, the ABVs of horror.
Yeah. But no, I really liked it. I think this you know, it was 99 cents, or if you're on Kindle Unlimited, it's free with your subscription. It's worth checking out.
There's no reason not to.
No. So what would you give this on a scale of 1 to 5?
I don't know, 3.5 or 4, maybe. I mean, I thought it was pretty solid. Maybe 3.5.
I'll say 4. It was a solid short story. I enjoyed it. Again, it's not really bringing much new to the table, but watching it play out, you'll forget that, you know?
Yeah.
It was very fun.
Yeah.
So I like that some of the darker shit is just like, oh, yeah, it's fun.
That was super fun, man. It was hilarious.
Was it Clown that I kept insisting was a comedy?
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, and Horns.
Yeah. Horns is definitely a comedy where he was talking to those snakes. Hilarious.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess we will be back with our review of Psycho Beach Party.
You're in a zombie apocalypse. You have one weapon, and it's not a gun. What is it?
Like a scythe, a car,
grenades, like a flare gun, maybe.
Piranhas.
Bat. A bat?
Baseball bat.
Hands down, machete.
It's obviously a lobo.
Loppers?
Slingshot.
Yeah!
Like a ground-mounted slingshot that shoots bricks.
Catch the 7 Deadly Questions on The Basement on a Hill. Hear all new episodes every Tuesday. The Basement on a Hill. Horror and comedy for people who hate horror comedies.
All right, we are back. What of it? I really wish that I was just like super abrasive, you know.
I don't.
No, I just kind of wish that I was, you know, just a big ass bully.
I have to listen to you once a week.
Well, speaking of which.
Oh, look at that. I thought we were going to make the announcement at the end of the show, but whatever.
Well, we can reiterate it for the people.
Okay.
But, we, for a little while at least, we are going to go down to, releasing episodes fortnightly.
Yeah, we're back to Fortnite releases.
Yeah. So, every 2 weeks we'll be putting out an episode. And
right. Do you really think that our viewers don't know what a Fortnite is?
Maybe. I mean, obviously, like, the English ones do. But some of the American ones, it's not a term that we really use over here.
I don't know. I think you just alienated a ton of our audience.
All right. Bi-weekly. Does it mean once every 2 weeks or twice a week? Who knows? Half of you will be disappointed. But yeah, so we're going to have to do that basically just due to other shit we got going on in our lives. I know that people think that this is all we do.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
We have such great journalistic like experience and stuff.
Yeah. Well, for the next few months, Brian will be putting that hard drive back and replacing that arm and smashing it into walls and all sorts of stuff.
Whatever works.
but no. So anyway, sorry to let you guys down, but life happens. So, yeah. But we'll almost certainly eventually get back to weekly.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we started off as bi-weekly. Yeah. So this is just us getting back to our roots.
Yeah. But that also means that we'll likely cover some longer.
Yeah.
Longer stuff.
Like The Stand.
Yeah. We're going to just jump right into The Stand. No, I think next week we're going to be doing Andrew Lennon's Taste of Fear, or next episode, A Taste of Fear. But again, this is all for the end of the episode type talk.
Yeah.
So let's jump into Psycho Beach Party. All right. So had you ever seen this film or knew anything about it prior to starting?
I did not.
I caught part of it on IFC, so it wasn't as big of a shock as far as what thematically it was and the style and all of that. But I'm interested to hear from you as far as like what you thought immediately about it.
Well, I love the idea, right? Like, it's basically, it's a spoof of 60s beach party movies, right? Which has murders in it, right? And I liked the idea of it. I don't know why, there was something about it. I just couldn't place what it was. I didn't really like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Really? That's surprising.
Yeah, it seems like I would have, but there was just something about it that just like, I don't know. Like, I can't even quite place my finger on it. I mean, I realized it was adapted from a stage play.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have probably worked a lot better as a play.
I mean, it like, may as well have been.
I know, but it was just like, there was something about it. I guess like some of the acting choices, because it was so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know. Just something.
Not a fan of young Amy Adams.
No, I'm not saying that.
No. I understand. I didn't feel the same way. I really, really liked it. I thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I didn't think that it was like an instant classic, but I can see why it's a cult classic, if that makes sense. It's not requisite viewing for everybody, but if you're into camp, especially like Rocky Horror type audience, I think would, you know, really like it.
You know, maybe that's, I think that might be what it is. Because like, do you think that Rocky Horror or like the original Batman movie, mm-hmm. not 1989 Batman, but
Batman and Robin. 60s. Was it Batman and
it's
Robin?
Just Batman.
Batman the movie. Yeah.
Batman the movie. Do you think, now I know for a fact that Batman the movie and Batman the TV show did kind of do it on purpose.
But they definitely did.
No, I'm saying, but like, I don't know. Like, there was something about camp stuff from back then, you know, or like the Munsters or just things from the actual 60s, right? That were campy, right? I know Rocky Horror wasn't from the 60s, but whatever. Where it kind of felt effortless, like effortless camp. Okay. Does that make any sense? Like it was natural. And then you get movies that try to be campy and it comes off maybe a little forced.
Really? I mean, I see where you're coming from, but to me, it still all felt forced. Like, old Batman, Rocky Horror, all of it comes off as forced camp.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't come off effortless to me. What comes off effortless was like, God, what the Birdemic? Because that was like camp due to not knowing what the hell they were doing.
They tried so hard.
Yeah, that's where it feels effortless to me. But I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, they're replicating an old style that seemed to be easier, you know, and kind of, I feel the same way about like Westerns. Newer Westerns feel weird watching because like a lot of like 60s and 70s, you know, like the old Westerns. Yeah. I mean, versus new ones, even though I generally like new Westerns better because now we've kind of amped up pacing and stuff and all of that. But yeah, I don't know. I see what you're saying. I don't 100% agree with it.
This podcast is over.
No, I mean, I don't think that I've ever been just really huge fan of a lot of campy things. Yeah. Like, I've always kind of liked them. And that's about it. Like, same thing with the old Batman. I don't think that that's as good as any of the other Batman movies. Well, I mean, some of the Schumacher ones it's better than. But I like it. and I liked it more as a kid.
Uh-huh.
I think the difference in this, broke the campy, you know, it kind of broke the fourth wall a few times by like mixing in certain things like jinkies and all this stuff, like, which is in line with it. And then like, just like, fuck that, you know, like,
yeah.
So it like broke the fourth wall of camp a lot. But I don't know.
I could there, go ahead.
I could see where you're coming from. That and the fact that the main character, I forget what the actress's name is, but she was on Can't Hardly Wait. I could normally tell you.
Lauren Ambrose.
Yes. That they had her doing a lot of impressions.
Yeah.
That were kind of off-putting.
Yeah.
Because, again, she's an actress, not a comedian.
Although, funnily enough, I really liked her stereotypical black lady voice.
Really?
Yeah. That one made me laugh. Just because it was, you know, she's like a little tiny, like, redheaded girl. Yeah. And it was just funny. Like, situation. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of stuff. Like, there was a lot of funny moments in this movie. Like, I liked Xander from Buffy. I don't know that guy's name.
Xander from Buffy.
Nicholas Brendan.
Who was he in
played Starcat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, and he was like trying to go against stereotypical like surfer tropes, right? Because he was like a psychology major and he was like really brainy and stuff. And it's like when they were telling her at first that she can't surf with them, I guess we should actually tell people the plot, but we said 60s I mean, surf movie.
The plot of this murders. Movie. Yeah. It's a slasher old surf movie.
Yeah. But they were telling her that she can't surf with them because she's a girl. And he was like, yeah, the surfboard's even a phallic symbol and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was like hilarious to me. Right. So there was a lot of funny parts, but there was just something about overall that fell kind of flat for me. But I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, did you watch this as your hard drive was crashing? Maybe it was external factors.
I mean, I did. I watched it like a week ago.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I mean, I get it. I don't. It's not like I'm about to get a Psycho Beach Party tattoo. I'll put it that way. Like my first tattoo, just Psycho Beach Party.
Just a full back piece.
Yeah. But that said, I liked it and I would recommend people to watch it. In fact, I told my dad, I was like, you need to watch this because it seemed.
Yeah,
like
I bet your dad would like it.
Yeah. It really seemed a lot like Chillerama to me, which was panned. And kind of for the same reason, just unnecessarily camp. But I don't know. I really, really liked it. I thought it was fun. It wasn't gory, which I think worked in its favor.
Yeah. I think if there would have been too much gore, it would have probably like ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. Although there was a guy with a testicle in his mouth.
Yeah. But he was born that way.
Yeah.
No, it's always fun for me to see Greg from Dharma and Greg.
Yeah.
Playing not Greg.
I liked like how much of like, not really a womanizer he was, but, I guess in the '60s, he would have been termed a sexual deviant, you know?
Oh yeah. I forgot about the reason he kept her around.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And I like that it alludes late. And this is spoilers, but who gives a shit? Because this isn't the type of movie that can be spoiled.
Obviously we don't.
But I like late in the movie that, you know, it's revealed that he used to be a cop.
Yeah. Like through a flashback. Really late in the movie.
I don't know. I really, really liked it. And I thought that it had an amazing cast. Again, other than the like the impressions, those kind of got on my nerves for some reason. But I'm a fan of Lauren Ambrose. I think she's a great actress. Obviously, Amy Adams, you know, she's a big star Oscar, now.
Like Oscar caliber actress.
Yeah. And so this is...
we should mention this was in 2000.
Yeah, this is a while back. And, you know, Greg from Dharma and Greg, whatever his name is. And
is a TV Emmy Academy award winning. Let me redo that.
He's an Emmy winning.
Well, I was going to say TV Emmy caliber actor.
Yeah, he's on a cop show now, huh?
Really?
Yeah. It's like Criminal Minds or something. I need to quit playing with this screw that's just falling and making a bunch of noise.
No, I like it. It adds ambiance to the show.
Yeah. So, okay, overall, you said the humor worked on you, but overall you just didn't really...
There was just something about it. Mm-hmm. I can't quite place it, like, honestly, and I hate doing that because it kind of sounds like a cop-out and, like, that I'm criticizing it for no reason, but... There was just something about it that when the whole came together, just didn't work for me.
Yeah. I mean, I understand.
there was a lot of it that I really thought was funny, you know, and I don't know. It was entertaining, but I don't know.
But just the worst thing I've ever seen. So... With that in mind, what would you give it?
I mean, I'd still go above average for it. I'd go probably 3, you know, which average for us is 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
So probably there, you know, maybe it's one of those movies that gets better with subsequent viewings, right? But I'd say 3 borderline.
2.5.
Well, no, I was going to go possibly the other way. But maybe like a 3.4.
There you go. I liked it. Again, I didn't think there was anything just stellar about it, but it was fun, and I enjoyed it. I would give it a 3.5.
Okay.
I felt it was better than average, but eh. Take it or leave it. Chump. Anyway. But I guess with that, that is the end of this episode.
B movies and ebooks in general.
Yeah. Yep. We will see you in 2 weeks where we are covering some movie and then also A Taste of Fear by Andrew Lennon. And you got anything else?
No. I think that about covers it. Just check out the other B&E podcast network podcasts. That was a little redundant. Got Ventures of Toxic City, got Basement on a Hill, got 2 vs. 3. We've got another one that should be dropping next week or so, maybe in 2 weeks. Because he said he's going to be out of town for a little while, but should be good.
Yeah. And I guess until it's finalized, we probably shouldn't say it.
Yeah,
but it is an existing podcast. We can at least... Should we even not say that?
Well, it's existing podcast that's coming under the B&E umbrella.
Yeah, it'll be, we'll be partnering up with it. And it's kind of the first insider look at some of the things that we've talked about. You know, we approach everything as a fan, and this is a content creator. And so anyway, I'm already a fan of the podcast, so
yeah.
Be great.
Craig, you shouldn't sell yourself short. You know, you're a content creator too. Well, you're working on that book.
Dude, that book's coming out. It's coming out soon. Hey, that's the real reason why we're dropping to once every 2 weeks. More time to write that book.
There you go. The mad dash to the finish.
Yep. Page 3.
Hey, you will be, I don't even know if it's the same book, but you will be happy to know that, like, I don't think that the artwork I did for your book got ruined.
Oh, cool.
So there you go. Yeah. Good job.
Oh, okay. Well, then great. Did you have that on the other partition?
I think I put it on like a somewhere else to show you, like a Dropbox or something like that. So I could just, I don't remember what I did.
And leave us five stars on iTunes.
Or Stitcher or wherever you listen to your stuff.
Yeah. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
The podcast you just heard is part of the B&E Network. Brought to you by BMoviesandEbooks.com.